This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we have Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey on the line. He continues to press for responsibility as Steward Health faces financial implosion here in the Commonwealth, and he also recently brought home $335 million in federal money for an overhaul of part of the Mass Pike. He's here to talk about that and more. Senator, welcome back to Radio Boston.
No, great to be with you again. Thank you.
Great to have you. And we'll talk about those items I just laid out, Senator. But first, there is some news brewing on Capitol Hill and internationally that I need to check in with you about. And I'll ask you to bear with me as I set this up a little bit. This weekend, Iran launched a barrage of drones and missiles against Israel, raising concerns that Israel's war in Gaza could spiral into a wider conflict. So next steps by Israel and Iran still up in the air. But here at home, increasing pressure on House Speaker Mike Johnson to bring to the floor a $95 billion foreign aid package that was passed with bipartisan support by the Senate in February. It's believed it would get sufficient bipartisan support in the House to pass, and it has, among other things, aid to Ukraine and more than $14 billion for Israel. So the speakers refused to bring it to the floor in the House, and in part that seems to be because of resistance by a subset of his members to the Ukraine piece. And now he's saying that he's going to break it into four pieces this week so that aid to Israel would stand alone. So my first question to you, would a standalone bill for aid to Israel pass in the Senate if it came to you from the House?
I think that Chuck Schumer has been very clear right from the beginning that no package will be able to pass or even be considered on the Senate floor unless it contains all of the component parts which were in the bill that we've already passed and sent over to the House. The fact that Speaker Johnson has a mess on his hands inside of the Republican caucus in the House in no way is going to affect the way in which the Senate, led by Chuck Schumer, is going to deal with this. We're going to deal with all component parts, and we're going to do so simultaneously. So he's got a big problem over there, but he cannot punt that problem over to the Senate. He's going to have to resolve that issue internally amongst his own members. We are not going to be responding to Marjorie Taylor Greene's desire to turn this into a circus.
So
we're going to do in an orderly fashion, and we're going to do so in a way that deals with all parts of the of these issues.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene in the House from Florida, part of the group that doesn't want Ukraine aid in that, in that bipartisan package. So I hear you. I also find myself wondering, with increasing concerns about escalation and possible broader war in the Middle East, is it possible that pressure ramps up so much to make sure that there is additional aid to Israel that it breaks apart a coalition that says this all has to be done in a single package, Senator?
Well, look, I long have stood with Israel and I continue to support defensive aid for Israel, but ultimately we need to ensure that we're also dealing with Ukraine, that we're also dealing with humanitarian aid, that we're also dealing with Taiwan and the threat from China. We have to think about all of these issues in a way that deals with a comprehensive view of our foreign policy perspective. And to the extent to which Speaker Johnson cannot accomplish that goal in the House of Representatives is a sad commentary on a once great party, the grand old party, but that does not deserve that title any longer. So we're going to hold so that we do it right. And that will build pressure on them, by the way, on the Republicans. And this past weekend, when the visit by the speaker down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring of Donald Trump is a good indication of where the latter-day Republican Party is right now. But we, as Democrats, we can't respond to that. We have to stand firm, and we have to make sure that while Iran's large-scale retaliatory attacks against Israel are deeply alarming, and I'm relieved that serious damage was largely contained, and my thoughts are with the 7-year-old Bedouin girl who sustained severe life-threatening injuries, and Israel does have a right to defend itself. But I think that President Biden's diplomatic efforts focused on deterrence and de-escalation are the right approach.
So you've emphasized heavily here, Senator Markey, excuse me for interrupting, the problems in the House and inside the GOP. I am now thinking about sort of the Democrat coalition on this. So, you know, we go back to October when you make the comments in the Boston Common on October 9th, quote, Hamas are violent extremists. They gain support in crisis. That is why the United States and the international community must keep pushing for diplomacy and the ending of civilian casualties on all sides. End quote. You're booed at the time. Over time, more people start moving to that perspective. Just this week, part of Elizabeth Warren's tweet in response to Iran's strike in Israel still says, quote, we need an urgent de-escalation and a ceasefire in Gaza to prevent a wider regional conflict, end quote. But even, you know, one of your compatriots from the Commonwealth, Jake Auchincloss, on the House side, has a much stronger view of Israel's right to defend itself and how that ought to happen. So is there a worry that the Democratic coalition begins to break apart in the urgency of fear about a wider Middle East conflict? Do you understand what I'm asking you, Senator?
Yeah, I think while Iran intended its attack to be a show of force, the fact that Israel, the United States, and the coalition of countries that came to Israel's defense were able to preempt and intercept 99% of Iran's projectiles, that demonstrated Israel's strength instead. So the attack actually underscored the capabilities of Israel's anti-missile systems, as well as that Israel is not alone in its defense from Iranian attacks. But I continue to support urgent de-escalation of regional tensions through diplomacy and an immediate ceasefire that could deliver humanitarian aid, bring the hostages home, protect innocent Gazans. The United States must do everything in its power to prevent further violence against civilians in a wider regional war. And so I continue to advocate for the United States to maintain its ties with members of Israeli leadership who are committed to diplomacy and a path to a two-state solution. The Democratic caucus has and always will stand in support of Israel's right to exist and its security. But we're at a pivotal point right now that we have to ensure does not lead to escalation in the region. And we have to continue to press, and I'm glad that President Biden is doing that, so that we don't wind up with, for example, Hezbollah, that has 130 to 150,000 rockets, missiles, right on the border of Israel, isn't drawn in, because that would be a catastrophic event that could lead to a wider regional war that I think it's the job of the United States to avoid.
All right, Senator, thanks for that. And we're here with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. I'm going to shift gears now, coming all the way down here into the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, the ongoing, I don't know, scramble, Senator, to try to figure out how to preserve health care for hundreds of thousands of patients here in Massachusetts as Steward Health looks to be, you know, facing financial implosion. You know, there's a deal with Optum, potentially the physician healthcare group for Steward's doctor network. A couple of questions there. One, do you expect a federal investigation into Steward and or its executives?
Well, the reality is that Steward has been managed in a way that has left that seven hospital grouping in desperate shape. And if Steward, Cerebus, or Medical Properties Trust violated the law, they should be investigated and held accountable.
So just Cerberus being the capital group that sort of founded Steward, bought the hospitals from Caritas Christi, and Medical Properties Trust owning the land, and Steward owes rent to them every month. Go ahead.
No, and thank you for that clarification. So there should be no question about whether Steward should be held accountable. What Steward and Cerebus and Medical Properties Trust did was immoral. And my Health Over Wealth Act would make it illegal and give the federal government the tools to enforce the law and to hold them accountable. I had a hearing last week up in the state with Elizabeth Warren that put a spotlight on this role that private equity is playing in moving into the healthcare sector, which is, by the way, not like moving in on a coffee company, not like moving in on a widget company. When a private equity goes in and tries to wring out hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars out of a healthcare system, the people who are affected are the poorest people who then have their healthcare adversely affected. So to the extent to which Ralph DeLaTorre, the CEO of Steward, and Cerebus, and all of the others engaged in this rapacious activity, it's really like Robin Hood in reverse. They're stealing from the poor to give to the rich.
So what can you
and
do, though?
Leaving the poor without the healthcare system which they need.
DeLaTorre didn't come to the hearing, right? He didn't come to the hearing, which you called him out for at the time. But what can we do? There can be legislation to deal with this in the future, but what do you want to see happen to the players here? And what can you do to make sure that that acts thing happens, Senator?
Well, right now, we have to make sure that everything that happens is done in coordination with the state to stabilize the healthcare system. Because if Steward collapses, it will spill over into the nonprofit sector in our state. It will jeopardize healthcare for those who are most vulnerable. So nothing that happens henceforth within our state should be done without, at the top of the agenda, the stabilization of the healthcare system. And that includes Optum, United Health trying to purchase the doctor's network in terms of whatever revenues that might generate. It all has to be seen holistically because otherwise, whether it be the Kearney, St. Elizabeth's, or any of the other seven hospitals, they could be put in jeopardy because there would be a further looting of the system. So we just have to keep the patients at the center of what's going on. And as Steward thinks about next steps, I am going to put pressure on them to put resources and funding back into the Massachusetts hospital system. I'm the chairman of the health subcommittee in the Senate. That's the auspices under which I conducted that hearing last week, and I'm just going to continue to work hard in partnership with the state, Governor Healey, who are working hard to stabilize the system.
Briefly, if the deal with Optum to purchase Steward's doctor's network goes through, does it save Steward from bankruptcy? Do you know?
No, I don't think that's clear. I think we have to know where those revenues are going, who are the beneficiaries of that deal. If all it is just a further pocketing of profits by Ralph DeLaTorre, by Steward, by Cerebus, then we really haven't accomplished anything. In fact, we've undermined the stability of the system by allowing for even more revenues to be taken out of the system and reducing the options to find a resolution to this issue that maintains the institutions that are so vital to local communities, Brockton, Fall River, Methuen, and Boston, and all across the Commonwealth.
I'm going to pivot again. Again, we're here with Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. The $335 million of federal money that you announced last month towards this this plan in I-90, where there's a viaduct crumbling in Alston, the plans to rebuild it, that piece of I-90 at grade, straightening it out. It's a tangle of ramps now. And there's 90 acres of Harvard-owned land that could be available then for new mixed-use development. Tell us why this project has had your attention and why you're so excited about it.
Thank you. Well, the Alston multimodal project is exactly what the bipartisan infrastructure law and the Reconnecting Communities program were designed to fund. the $1 trillion package, which we passed 3 years ago. And here, it's going to reconnect the environmental justice communities in Alston and Brighton that were historically severed from access to the Charles River and from economic centers in Boston by a hulking elevated highway overpass. My first job in law school as a legal clerk was working on a project to cancel the proposed Southwest Expressway that would have decimated the neighborhoods in the South End in Roxbury. And I worked there as a 22-year-old, seeing all of these activists fight that highway. And to the extent to which that group, the South End Project Action Committee, for whom I worked, were ultimately successful. You can only imagine the South End with an 8-lane highway through the middle of it. It would be unrecognizable. We now have to go back to Brighton and Alston and say, we want to correct a problem which had been allowed to take place, which did sever those communities from the Charles River, from other economic activity, from their historic identity as a community. And that's why I've advocated that there be a ground level, a street level solution to this problem, that we get rid of this elevated highway idea that contractors and big picture people from the 50s and 60s thought was the accommodation you had to make to the automobile without any consideration for the impact it was having upon the neighborhoods through which these highways were going.
Senator, we're going to lose you in a minute, and I want to stay there. And just for listeners, we're going to talk more about this project a little later in the show. Earth Week is next week. That's on my mind. The city of Boston's Green New Deal envisions significantly reduced car traffic within the next few decades in the city. This plan will bring it to grade. It will rebuild 12 lanes of road, 8 on the Pike, 4 on Soldiers Field Road. In your mind, how does it fit into climate resilience for the state?
Well, we're the leaders at the state and city level, the city of Boston, but we still have a lot of work to do. There's a lot of momentum towards a Green New Deal. Mayor Wu ran as a Green New Deal candidate for mayor. And we just have to make sure that we're healing the scars of the antiquated highway projects that ripped apart Black, Brown, low-income communities. And we have to center environmental justice, not just in Alston and Brighton, but across the whole city and across the whole state, by the way. And ultimately, it just becomes a win-win-win. It benefits environmental justice communities. It expands public transit access, and that's where the mayor wants to go and the governor. And it improves travel for people coming into Boston. So we just need to make sure that everything that we do now includes a comprehensive view of everyone who's impacted. By the way, increasing pedestrian and biking infrastructure and reducing greenhouse gases. And I think that's really what the vision of the Green New Deal had. And I'm just so proud of the extent to which Mayor Wu, but the whole state, has embraced that agenda.
Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey, thanks so much for being with us.
No, thank you for having me again.
So still with us here on the line is Lisa Kaczynski. She's a political politics reporter, author of the Massachusetts Playbook. Listen to that conversation to provide us some perspective now. Hey there, Lisa.
Hey.
So headline that really caught your attention in that conversation with Ed Markey.
I'll start with Steward Healthcare, actually, and just how mammoth of a problem this really is for both the feds and for the state. I mean, everyone wants to crack down on Steward Healthcare, on CEO Ralph Dellatore, but nobody necessarily has the tools and the mechanism to do it. And it's complicated because, you know, legislation can be introduced, but Congress is so divided, as we've just heard, and is dealing with, you know, a lot of very pressing international and national security issues and the border and the election year and everything else. And there's both state and federal funding tied up in this. It's it's really quite a mess.
So, you know, I noticed that Senator Markey really heavily emphasized nothing gets done about Steward without heavy involvement from the state, right? And eyes towards the patients in the state. Governor Maura Healey is beginning to convene some discussions in the next few days, regional discussions with multiple players about what happens next. Is the state moving along? Does the state have the teeth or the legs? You pick the body part, Lisa Kaczynski, that it needs for next steps?
I believe the state does. And I will say that specifically, actually, with House Speaker Ron Mariano. Healthcare and hospital reform has been his calling card, major priority, whichever term you want to use for that. And it was something that he already came into this session wanting to look at and really, you know, kind of, as he put it, fix some issues with the massive legislation he helped pass in 2012 that created the state's health policy commission. He wanted to do all of that even before Steward became an issue. Now Steward is kind of just making that push even more important to him. He was on WCBB just the other day saying that lawmakers are looking at how to make changes to better take control of situations like Steward's, taking flexibility away from capital management companies, from hospitals being able to sell the land from underneath them, as he said, and as is the problem here. So I think that there is going to be a significant push on Beacon Hill, especially as we get past the budget that's about to, kind of come up for debate in the House to really try and do something with this. But it will still probably take months.
So the other two big items that we talked with Senator Markey about, Lisa, in our last minute or so, doings on Capitol Hill around foreign aid and also this I-90 project, which we're going to talk more about in the show. Anything else in those pieces of the discussion that you would sort of zone in on?
I think it was really interesting to hear, as you pointed out, how folks in our all Democratic delegation have shifted more towards Markey's original position on Israel and Gaza over time. Our delegation really stands as a microcosm of the divides within the Democratic Party. And this week on Capitol Hill is really going to exacerbate those divisions as House Speaker Mike Johnson tries to push these separate bills forward. And the Senate might have to take some votes that it maybe doesn't want to take. And you heard kind of the reluctance to deal with that from the senator. And it will be really interesting just to watch, to monitor how our different members vote, including Senator Markey, as these bills come forward and in what form they take.
All right. Lisa Kaczynski is political politics reporter and author of the Massachusetts Playbook. Thanks for being with us, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.